You're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. Good evening, I'm Al Voner, and this is this week's edition of The Public Eye. Nice to have you with us. There has been monumental talk and research over the past few decades, specifically on the workplace. Working alongside the opposite sex, working alongside people from other races, and it's really made for in some cases, a tense environment. But I think overall, many people realize that we're a very diversified country. In fact, globally, and inevitably, at some point in your work life, in your career, you'll be working with a very diverse group of people. How do you go about handling that? What are the things to watch for? How can you make for a better work environment is really what it comes down to. And that's where my guest comes in this week. She's Harvard Law professor and author, Paola Cicci Di Meglio. Her new book is Diversity Dividend, and a really great book because it really highlights many of the things that I think a lot of companies, especially at the management level, overlook. And yet frontline employees are really the backbone of many, many companies and organizations. And if we can get a more harmonious work environment, then according to Paola, the entire organization does a lot better. Paola, nice to have you with us.
Al, thank you so much for having me on your show today.
Not only that, but what I'm really happy about is that you're a fellow Italian, so that really makes it fun. We'll have to have some rigatoni later on.
Anytime.
First of all, let me ask you, how did you get the time? I mean, you're busy enough teaching at Harvard, but how did you get the time to write a book? But more importantly, why this topic?
Why this topic? First, I think I should say I'm a first generation American. I believe in the American dream, and that's the reason why I came in this country. That's when you talk about diversity, United States is, I will say, a full spectrum of diversity. And next to that, I have a gender. I'm a woman, and I have experienced, through my career, several hurdles, and I wanted to find solution for it. That's, I will say, on the personal side. Next to that, I will say I grew up with parents who, we were nomad growing up, and I have seen the diversity of the world. And generally speaking, when people ask me where I am from, I have a tendency to say that I'm more a citizen of the world than anything else. So that's where I will say on the personal side, the willingness to understand diversity and make sure that we're creating a workplace with more fair and equitable for everyone comes from. On the professional side, I will say I'm a lawyer and behavioral scientist. And, law gave me the way of providing an argument. Data science provide me the way in which I can demonstrate my argument. And I believe in science, and I believe it's always more easy to make informed decision when you are able to tune into what science tell you about what work and what doesn't work. So that's something where diversity and inclusion, and I will say overall good leadership and good decision making, come into play, where the ability to work with company and government allow me to put in play a world that hopefully is a little bit more fair and equitable, and where people are happy to work. Because we should not forget, we spend most of our time during the day working, mm-hmm. and so we should enjoy being in the place where we are happy, because at the end of the day, there is a very simple mantra, which is happy people make more money for themselves and for their company, and there are substantial work who have been done at the university at Harvard, but also in other universities, showing that happiness changed tremendously when workers are happy, because there is a ripple effect within the company. And so you lower the amount of people leaving, and you also attracting more people working at the company.
You know, you had talked about how diverse it is in this country, and you're absolutely right. I remember growing up as a young man in a local family business, but at least right here in central Massachusetts, Worcester specifically, back in the mid-late 50s, even through the most of the 60s, it was a cross-section of males and females in the workplace, but primarily, management, the upper echelon of many organizations, was handled by males. A lot of women handled the clerical. That has done, there's been a reversal of that today. Now you've got almost an equal amount of women and minorities working within every type of organization across the country in various capacities. And it still seems, I think we've done a great job and I think we've moved forward, but I want to get your sense that, first and foremost, have you personally still find some resistance to women, rising to executive levels or moving up in an organization strictly because, not only women, minorities as well, because of their gender or because of their racial background?
This is a tough question.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is, does it still exist?
Unfortunately, it still exists. Unfortunately, I think, you still see way in which organization impede the progress of women and underrepresented individual. But, I will say, and I will pause here, I don't think people wake up the morning and say, hey, I want to be biased. I think the processes who are in place in organization are the one triggering biases. They are the one who are, I will say, impeding the progress and also hindering the progression of people. And so I think it's twofold. The first one is re-engineering an organization and the processes, and I will get back in a moment to give you an example. And next to that is a question of helping and empower people. I don't say to do more diversity and inclusion, but I will rephrase that to do more decision intelligence way of working. And here I will pause first for a moment in the sense that we are paid to make decisions. On a daily basis, anyone, any type of job, you are paid to serve a customer or to give advice to a client. And what it is at the end of the day, the goal is to make sure that you're providing the best service and that you're making the best decision. And so what is important here is to empower everyone within the company to make sure that you are having the best tool in your toolkit to make the best decision at the time of that decision. That's number one. Number two, in terms of organization and reengineering the processes, I will go with someone that you may have experience or may know someone who have experienced that. The recruiting process is something that is extremely challenging on both sides, I will say from a recruiter side and from the interviewee side. There are ways in which, for example, helping candidates to pair themselves prior to the interview so they can practice and arrive more prepared, knowing what type of question, what type of interview they can expect. Suddenly, you are bringing people to success and not to failure, despite the fact, and I should hold on there, failure and setback are important. And Amy and Winston's new book, which I highly recommend to read, The Right Kind of Wrong, also demonstrate that. But there are ways in which you can create a process where you're making sure that everybody is likely to succeed.
Yeah. Go ahead. You're absolutely right. I mean, if an employee comes to the work environment feeling that it's hostile, that somebody has has it in for them, somebody is trying to stifle their progress, trying to stifle their originality and ideas, then they're going to be very unhappy. The organization may indeed at that point lose a very valuable person. So, you know, it all makes sense. And I want to hear what, you know, your continuation on that. But I just want to take a quick pause to remind listeners that you're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. I'm Al Vona, host of The Public Eye. My guest this week is Harvard Law professor and author Paolo Cicci di Meglio. Her new book is Diversity Dividend, and we're talking about an issue that is just still so very prevalent in the workplace, and that's how to debias a company to make, as Paolo has been saying, to make a better organization. And you know, you're exactly right. When you said an organization can be much more profitable, why doesn't management see that more often?
Well, you know, I don't know any businessman, either from a Fortune 500 or mom and pop store, who do not want to make increase their revenue.
Right.
So, you know, the easy part is to understand that first, productivity and performance are linked to the environment in which you're in. So having a friend at work suddenly make a difference. Feeling that you belong and that you are included in part of a conversation to product or service that your company sell is of importance because, you know, as everyone, we don't like to be the outsider. You know, when you think about playing in the soccer game or in basketball, you want to make sure that the ball is passed to you and that you are part of that team. I never have seen any, you know, game where you left one teammate on the side because you run inefficiently, you have less people, you have less synergy among teammates. And so, you know, there is also a quick saying, which is team together, everyone achieve more. And I believe that executive, I will say more seasoned leader, understand that is important for their company. But there is also pressure coming out from shareholder and overall from customer, understanding that is important that their workforce represent the rest of the world, the diversity of the world.
Now, an organization, and I'm sure you deal with this in your work, as you said, as a behavioral scientist, not only as a legal expert, but you can sit down with management, you can sit down with owners, you can sit down with frontline employees and explain all of this to them. And I know you said earlier, you know, most employees, most people don't go to their jobs every day deciding that, well, today I'm going to, you know, I'm going to have a biased attitude. I agree with you. I think most people get up hoping to have a good day, an enjoyable day. I mean, they have to spend, like you said, the bulk of their life there. But sometimes, you know, you come in, like, say, on an even footing, two, three employees work in a certain department. All of a sudden, somebody revolutionizes something. Somebody comes up with a great idea, or somebody has an advanced knowledge of something. And I just think I wanted to get your sense on this. As human beings, I mean, we're vulnerable to a lot of things, but I'm just wondering if it's also inherent in many people that they get this jealousy or they take on this sense that, oh, well, look what this person's doing now. He or she is trying to outshine me, make me look bad. That may in most cases not be the case. But that seems to be what I see. Is that sound correct to you?
So I will take a step back here because I think I will reposition your question in the way of, do we like to have someone imposing a decision on us? Mm-hmm. And how do we feel about that? I don't think a top approach or bottom-up approach, meaning changing the heart and mind of someone, have shown that we're getting to result. What, you know, some of the work that have been done by Richard Thaler, among other, or Cass Sunstein, really demonstrate that we are, you know, both rational and irrational in the way in which we interact with one another. Here come a very important point, which is how can you make sure that when you bring an idea, you can see that the other party will see that as expanding the pie and that everyone around the table will win. Mm-hmm. That's an art and science in itself, making sure that you're bringing everyone around to foster the idea and to make sure that this idea flourishes. You know, I do think that there is every manager that you speak with will tell you that they want to make sure that they're doing their job in the right way, that they're bringing their team together. And so if you hear people experiencing that the way in which the manager will bring in that they outshine one another and that they're creating a competitive, I will say, environment among workers, it means that there is something in terms of how the manager handles his team. And so that's where the decision intelligence comes in. That's where the toolkit comes in. How do you make sure that you're going to sequence and also even the wording and present idea to your team so those feelings are not created internally? And I will say there is more thought that need to happen rather than just being on the gut feeling of here is the idea. There is a way in which you present. It has to be seed planted so you can see the idea being accepted by everyone.
Would you agree that in order to achieve that the management, whether it's, you know, whether it's at the first level or right up to the executive level, that leadership or leaders, I should say, management, whatever you want to call it, realize this, and then that has to trickle down to. In other words, if I'm a floor manager and I've got three, four, multiple employees working with me on my team, I want to make sure that every time something goes right, or every time something is implemented, it's carried out to the fullest and hopefully to a successful conclusion, that everybody gets a pat on the back. Now, some people would say, well, that's how it should be in the real world, but that's not how it works. But my question would be, does the responsibility fall on leaders and two people are quite the same in their approach to leadership, so the leaders, the managers, the executives, the owners, they really need to set the tone, right?
They do. And you know, I will pause here for a moment because I have all the work has been carried over the several decades is just informed by big data and AI. So when you're a good leader, you want to make sure that the decision that you are taking and in the way in which it will trickle down within the organization is informed by data. That's number one. Number two, you do have a responsibility to make sure that the message is conveyed in the right way. And I have to say that I have been witnessing working with some company, seeing an atmosphere where people down the level, four or five level down, were afraid to talk to executive when they thought that there were some challenge that they were facing. Mm. And for me, it is a sign of big warning. Here it means that there is a problem within this culture, showing that if there is a problem, there is a way in which you should be able to escalate very quickly a situation that needs full attention. And, you know, every seasoned leader and executive that I have worked with all care so deeply about all their employees. And, you know, I do know how mad they get when suddenly they're learning something that other people did not pass along. And so it's true that it's necessary to have some filter because you cannot have on a daily basis thousands of emails, but you need as a leader to surround yourself with a number of people who are able to bring the bad news to you. And you also need to have a system in place where anyone down the organization can reach out to you and do not have that fear in their stomach, being afraid that they're going to be fired because they reach out to you because they have a problem that they will want to bring to your attention. So that's on the side of the executive. On the side of the manager and employee, I do think that if there is something that makes them uncomfortable, it is important to see if there are different type of strategies that they can implement and I will say on their daily basis. But there is also the responsibility on them to make sure that if there are situations that are uncomfortable, that they bring and they voice it. And I will say not only voice it with HR or legal, but also voice it with coworker in the way that there is a way in which they can discuss and get perspective of some of the events that took place, who those individuals were witnessing situation.
Yeah, those are great points, Paolo, because I think fear has always been the thing that stymies many people from, as you said, if there's an issue, whether it's conflict or something, either in the process of how the organization operates, many frontline employees will be afraid of going to their, you know, to their manager or even to the owner for fear of retribution, maybe being fired. And I'm sure that stymies a lot of progress. But with that said, I also think that there has been a lot of progress made, but it all goes back to what you originally, and what the book is really about, and that being that, you know, management needs to set that tone, that this is not a hostile environment, that we welcome your ideas, that there will be no ramifications. In fact, we want to hear from you because you're on the front lines and you see things that we don't see. Are we doing a better job of that than perhaps 2 decades ago, 3 decades ago?
Well, that's a tough question. You know, it's looking at some of the organization, are they doing better? Certainly. I think we should be further away. Not a question, but I think we're making slow progress, not fast enough. But I will say, because I'm all about what tool can you implement tomorrow? And one example that I will give you related to leadership and accessing leadership, one intervention that we did with one company, which was extremely large company, which helped us making sure that the message were going down. All the 600 leaders, when they were going down to have a coffee, depending on which side they were in, they were sending out an email, a blast email to the people in some department, and we made sure that all the departments were receiving that email at least twice during the year. And that leader were saying simply, hey, I'm going to get a coffee now. Feel free to pop up for the next hour. I will be there. Happy to have any type of conversation. And you will be surprised how much, based on survey afterward, we have seen the increase of inclusivity, belonging, and openness coming up in this organization. So, there are very simple things, I will say, that leader can do with time optimization, but also feedback optimization. One other element that I will say is extremely important is, believing in the annual performance review. I am a big proponent to understand that giving a feedback once a year is not enough. I believe that you need to make sure that you're providing regular feedback. And this is a way in which you can provide regular feedback also to your leader, right? It is also important in that way to sit down and have a coffee and having a group of people and sharing your concerns. Leader want to also hear that.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's an excellent point. I mean, in the few moments we have left, I couldn't agree with you more because I'm hearing that from people that I know that run organizations or even management positions that, once a year, you lose connectivity, for lack of a better term. But if you do these things bimonthly or monthly, or even if it's quarterly, at least there's a connection and employees feel, hey, they really care about what I have to say. They really care about, my feelings. In the few moments that we have left, Paolo, Diversity Dividend is a great book to read. Is it meant for not only major corporations but even employees, even frontline employees, even people who've been in the workplace for a short time? Can they gain something from this?
Definitely, the book is really written for everyone in the workplace who want to make sure that they're bringing all their coworker and their career to the next level.
And I think it's as you said it yourself, and you said it a number of times, success is really based on the productivity of an organization, the success of an organization, but that can only be brought about through making sure that the people that you have in your organization are, one, happy, feel safe, feel comfortable being able to be open about their ideas, new ideas, any criticism, whatever it may be. Communication, I think you'd agree, comes down to that. Communication must be the first and most important element in any organization, without fear of reprisal or retribution in any way. Paolo, if people obviously the book Diversity Dividend out on bookstore shelves right now, people should go out and buy it. As I said, you don't have to be the owner of a Fortune 500. Anybody can gain some great insights with this. But if people want to just pose questions to you directly, get more information about the work you do, I know you're on the faculty of Harvard, but you've also got the behavioral scientist work that you do. But how might people reach out to you?
So there are several ways in which they can reach out to me, either via LinkedIn with my full name or via my Twitter handle, which is @HLSPaola, or via my personal website. There is a specific page where you have contact, and my wonderful executive assistant will help get all those messages to me. And I promise I will respond. It may be sometimes, but I will respond. I do care deeply about people who take the time to write to me, and so I also respond to them.
And as I said at the opening of the show, Paolo is a fellow Italian. So, but our names are usually with multiple vowels. So I'm going to spell it out for people, because over my lifetime, very few people, especially upon first meeting me, ever get it right. It's been Vona, when it's really Vona, but that's not their fault. It's just maybe too many vowels. But it's P-A-O. L-A, Paola, Cicci, C-E-C-C-H-I, Dimeglio, D-I-M-E-G-L-I-O. So if you're trying to Google it, that would be the right spelling and the right pronunciation on that. Again, the book is Diversity Dividend, a great read and great insight into how you can make your organization, your company, as Paolo even said, even if it's just a mom-and-pop operation, just a small family-run company, that doesn't mean just because you're all family. In fact, more often than not, that's where the problems begin, because they're family and they feel they can say or do whatever they want. I know that firsthand. So just a great read, and I'm grateful to have Paolo on today and to discuss what really should be a harmonious part of our lives. We work so much, and this is one way of achieving that. If you have any questions about the broadcast, you can certainly give me a call here at the studio. It's WICN, 508-752-0700. You can pose any comments, questions, or feedback to me directly. I certainly welcome that as well. That's Al Vona, V-U-O-N-A, @WICN.org. For the Public Eye, this is Al Vona. Thank you.